Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. It's good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? I hear all these people that are sick and have the bubonic plague or something along that lines. I'm thankful that I can just stand here tonight. I jest, but I honestly, thinking about Michelle Bass, you know, a young woman, pretty healthy, and being in a hospital, I praise God that I can get up today. I really do. And I think we should all have that attitude, shouldn't we? Amen. Matthew chapter number 27. And Pastor Jerry, when he asked me to preach tonight, he asked if I could preach on something about missions. He said I didn't have to, but since it's missions emphasis month, that it would probably be a good idea. And so I've been thinking about it, praying about it. And Matthew chapter 27 is probably not a chapter that most people would use for missions, but you'll see where I'm going here in a second. Matthew chapter number 27, and we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he had saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is a price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, or Jeremiah, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." It's kind of an interesting price. They valued Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the children of Israel. Verse number 10, "And gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say, and they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. I'm going to stop right there. I want to skip over Matthew chapter number 28. And just the last few verses, pretty common verses. Starting at verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I want to preach on this subject tonight. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. Let's pray and I'll get into this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us here. God, I pray that you'd help me now. Lord, I pray that you'd be lifted up and you'd be magnified tonight. God, I pray that I'd be reduced completely. Lord, I just want them to see you tonight. And Lord, I pray that if there's one in this room that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they've never trusted you, God, I pray tonight would be the night of salvation for them. Lord, for the Christian that's in this room, Lord, I pray this would be encouragement to them. God, I pray that it would be an edifying to the body of saints in this place. God, help us to be stirred and put our feet to action towards missions. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. Now, I think there's many ideas out in this Christian realm, at least, floating around there about missions. And some believe that missions is, you know, something that's done in a foreign land. That's just something that is not done in the United States necessarily. It's just something that's done in a foreign land. That's their idea of missions. Some believe that it's, you know, their idea of missions is delivering food or something like clothing or something to the needy or the poor. Some believe that it's, you know, delivering Bible literature. Some believe that a missions program and a mission that missions is just a program of the local church. It's just a program. They don't know what it is. They just think it's some kind of something the church does. And before I get going too much further, let me define missions for you so I understand where I'm going. And this is not necessarily a Bible definition. This is my definition, so you might be scared. Missions is not any of the things I just mentioned, but missions is just simply this: the spreading of the gospel through the preaching of God's word, seeing conversions, and the establishment of New Testament churches. That's it. My definition of missions would be probably what people would call today is church planting. That's New Testament missions. And you're awful quiet, so maybe some of you are looking at me kind of funny. But missions is not a word that's used actually in the Bible. You can't find it anywhere. But if you look at our example of a missionary, what we would call the example of missions in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. What he did is he preached God's word and started churches. That's what he did. And anything else is not missions. Anything else is not missions. Some of you are real quiet now. Because there's a view that's been misconstrued. I really believe that. Even in fundamental circles. We'll give a lot of money to all kinds of things, but if we're saying missions, we should be giving it to people that are going to preach the gospel, see people saved, start churches. That's the pattern. That's the Bible pattern. And we get caught up with a lot of other things. And I'm all for these other things, you know, and it's probably good that we support some things because they need our help and they help us. For instance, you have the Christian Law Association. They're a help to churches, are they not? They're a help to churches. And they'll help this church if we ever get in trouble, right? You know, if somebody grabs some kid's arm, you know, and twists their butt off because they're lipping off to the teacher or something like that, you know, probably a good idea that we have a CLA on our side or something along that lines. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. But the CLA is not a missionary. They are not a missionary. They don't start any churches. They protect churches, but they don't start any churches. Now, I know that they'll go around to different churches, and sometimes they'll preach and do different things, and they probably see people saved, but they're not a missionary. They're not. But they do need to be supported, because that's how we can get, you know, free advice from the Christian Law Association. Amen and amen for that. But tonight, I want to give you a vision of what missions is really like, a vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. What did Jesus think about missions? What was his idea? And this stirred me. I've been reading a book, or a couple books actually, they're all about Calvary. They're all about the cross. And one of them I picked up when Dr. Sheldon Smith was here, and he had all those books from the Oliver B. Green's radio broadcasts and all those kind of things, and the Gospel Hour. So I picked one up, and about the cross, and there's another one about Calvary, and I thought, well, these would be great. And I figured they'd be all Oliver B. Green. I picked one. The one I started reading, and it had no Oliver B. Green in anywhere. I was thinking, well, what did they do? Misprint this thing or what? But there's another preacher by the name of A.C. Dixon. And I read through that thing. Oh, it stirred my heart. And if you ever want to get stirred, read anything you can about the cross. If you really want to have your heart torn apart and realize where you're really at, read passages of Scripture about Calvary. And for this church, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and missions, our missions program here, how should we look at it? What should our vision be? Well, I believe our vision should be through the eyes of the cross. So let me give you just a few things of what the cross saw about missions, what the cross saw. And at the cross, first of all, the cross saw a vision of the state of man. The cross saw a vision of the state of man. Now, why do we have missions emphasis month? I mean, what's the big deal? Why do we have all these preachers come in, you know, missionaries come in? What's the big deal? Why do we stress missions? It's so we can get a clear vision of what's really at stake. It's not just to say we had them in and have a good time and all these things and, you know, give them some money and, you know, get them out the door and, hey, we had missions emphasis month. The reason we bring those people in and Pastor Jerry emphasizes missions is so that we can understand really what's at stake. The whole reason we talk about missions is because of the plight of mankind. What did the cross see about man? What did God see about us? Listen, mankind's in rough shape, are they not? Well, let's look in this passage, and I'm going to give you some other verses in Matthew chapter number 27. Let's see how man is. Okay? We'll start back in verse number 1. I'm going to read a lot of verses tonight, okay? Because I want God to be magnified, and I can just sit down and let Him do all the work, okay? Matthew chapter number 27, and starting in verse number 1, it says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death." Now, think about that for a second. Jesus, who was perfect, the sinless, spotless Son of God, the man who walked on this earth doing no wrong, performing miracles. These chief priests and these elders watched Jesus do miracles. They were there every step of the way. They watched Him feed 5,000. They watched Him raise people from the dead. They were there. Yet because of the state of man, they decided they want to put Him to death. Verse number 2, and it says, "And when they had bound Him and led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate the governor, then Judas," listen, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, "said, which had betrayed Him, when he had saw that He was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And listen to the people's response. Listen to this. And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." What is that to us? Who cares? Doesn't that sound like man's philosophy today? What about it? Who cares? So what if I did you wrong? Who cares? You know? So what if I did this thing, this wicked, evil thing? How? Who cares? That's mankind today. That's what Calvary saw. That's what the cross saw. And you go through here. And let's skip down a little bit through the chapter here. And verse number 20. It says, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They'd rather have a thief and a murderer than Jesus." And by the way, that's how mankind is today. They'd rather have their sins, and they'd rather do what they want to do, and they'd rather have all those things than Jesus Christ. Verse number 21. "The governor answered and said unto them, Whether the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all saying to him, Let him be crucified." Man, in his natural state, is absolutely 100% wicked. Let me read some verses to you if you're not convinced yet. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12 and verse number 13 say this. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Romans chapter number 3, the Bible says this, starting verse number 10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says this, starting in verse number 18, for pretty common verses. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image my like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Proverbs chapter number 30 describes this generation. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. That's the state of man. That's what the cross saw. Why do we bring these missionaries in? Why have a missions emphasis month? Because man's in trouble. And they need help. They need help. Just go down the street and look. They're in trouble. Most of the time, on my work days, a lot of the times, except for the occasional few times, I usually come Jasonville way and then go down towards Linton to go to the floor store and meet Jeff there, hopefully on time. And on my way, almost all the time, I see a man almost every morning. And he stands out by the side and he waves at everybody that goes by. Kind of a big guy. And I don't know how he does. He wears like sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And it's like, you know, 30 below zero out. And he's, I don't get it. And but every time I go by, I look at his face and just kind of look at the way he is. And he tries to smile and wave. And he does this all day long. You know, you can come back in the middle of the day and he'll still be there. You know, waving at people, drinking a cup of coffee. I don't know if it's spiked with something or whatever. But he's there all day long. And every time I look at that man, I think, he's out of our life. Sin's gripped him. Something's wrong. The other day, I was driving by, and I was on my way to do something. And I was driving towards Hymera, and I looked over off the side of the road, and there's some teenagers standing out there. Wow, they weren't really standing. Teenagers never really stand anywhere. They just kind of move quickly from one place to another. And some of them had some skateboards, and some of them had, I don't know what kind of boards they are. They only got like two wheels, and I don't know how they work, but they move back and forth, and they kind of go on their own. And I'm afraid to get on one of those things and break my neck. And I was watching them. And looking at them, and they were having fun, but you could just tell they had no peace. Vacant. Sin has gripped them. The other night, my wife and I, we stopped, and where did we stop at? Wasn't it? Was it Wendy's? Where did we stop? Nah, Subway. Sorry, forget which fast food place I've been at. We stopped at Subway in Lenton, and it was later. Oh, that was the night, Friday night, last Friday night, and I just got done preaching at Victory Baptist, and what a good night that was. And I saw one young lady get saved. Amen, amen. And not because I preached. Pastor Jerry, I only preached for 10 minutes. Can you believe it? I preached longer already. And but one girl got saved. But we stopped at Subway. We're going to pick up some sub sandwiches, and then we're going to head over to Mom and Dad's. And Chad and Rachel were on their way to surprise Mom and Dad. Didn't tell them. You know, we tried to keep it from Mom and Dad. Lie to them, all those kind of good things. And keep it from them. And but we stopped in there to get a sandwich. And we're waiting for things to get made. And I turned around and looked. And my wife turned around and looked. And there's these two young men outside, and they were on bikes, and I watched one of them. He took his bike, and I don't know how he did it, but he jumped it up on top of the outside on the picnic table. And I used to be able to bunny hop my bike, but I mean, when I say bunny hop, I mean bunny hop. You know, it just, but somehow he got that thing up on top of the table, and I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. And but I was watching him. And one of them pulled out a cigarette and started smoking. And their hair, you know, they kind of look kind of grungy and dirty. And, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night on Friday. When you're out at 10 o'clock on Friday and you're young, it's probably not a good thing. I know, because I used to do that. And you could just tell they were hurting. Sin had gripped their life. Why do we have missions? It's to set those people free. Because sin has gripped them. Men and women, boys and girls. Those of you that work on bus routes and things like that, I don't have to tell you what those homes are like, right? Those people are in trouble. They're a wreck. They're a mess. And it's our job to help them. And that's what missions is all about. Not only at the cross was there a vision of the state of man, but there's also a vision of suffering. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 27 again. And start in verse number 27. The Bible says this, says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took off the robe from off him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall." If you don't understand what gall is, it's poison. That's what it is. They tried to poison him. "And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." Isn't that interesting? They sat down and watched Jesus die. "And set up over his head an accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from off the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him, and the scribes and the elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land into the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Jesus suffered for us. He suffered. Well, why did he have to suffer, though? Why did he have to suffer? Because The human race without Christ suffers, and he tasted that suffering for every man. Sin makes you suffer. When I was a teenage boy and I was living in sin, I can't even describe to you the amount of suffering I had in my life because of my sin. The things that would happen to me, the things that I had to go through, and most of all, the mental torment that I went through. Because sin held my mind captive. And there's hundreds and thousands and millions of people that walk this earth suffering every day. And so Jesus suffered. Just for them. Just for you and just for me. Isn't that a sobering thought? Why have missions? Why? Why send out buses? Why pick up little kids? Why give money to missions? Why send out a preacher to another place? It's because people are suffering. And they need some help. There may be one in this room right now. You are suffering. You've been living in sin day by day, and you need to be set free. And there's only one way you can be set free, and that's through Jesus Christ. Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today, tonight, you must trust Him. Lest you go through this life suffering day by day, moment by moment. Oh, sure, you may have a good day here and a good day there, and maybe even a good week or a good month. But there be those days where you will suffer and there is no other place to turn, and you need Christ. What about you, Christian? Some of you are committing habitual sin every day. There's something you just haven't got victory over, or actually you're not willing to give it over to Jesus Christ, and so you suffer with that thing every day and it torments you. Can I say this? The sins of my past, even though God has forgiven them and He's wiped them clean, the sins of my past torment me. You say, what do you mean? I've been set free, but there's things that I put in my mind and put before my eyes that are hard to put away. And I have to struggle with them. I suffer with them. Sin makes you suffer. Listen, if you're struggling with that thing, come to the altar tonight, give that thing over to God, and trust God that He'll take it from you. Stop doing it your way. You know, there's all kinds of self-help books and all these things that people try and do. Well, if I just do this, then I'll get rid of this thing. Or if I just try this, maybe it'll go away. Or maybe if I just talk to the preacher, it'll just go away. It won't go away. Only God can take it away. Only Jesus can take it away. Come to Him. Let Him take it away. Even last week, there was something, I'll just tell you what, I won't describe it, but there was something I was just struggling with, I was just having a hard time with. There was a sin, a particular sin I was just struggling with, and I said, God, I need your help. I've tried everything under my own power, I'll just get up this morning and I won't do this, or I won't think this. That just doesn't seem to work. And I realized there was a Bible verse that came to my mind, just kept echoing in my mind, my heart. Is that this kind come not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind come not out but by prayer and fasting. I need to die to myself. I need to not eat for a little while. I need to pray and ask God to take it from me. And praise God, He did. You say, well, that won't work for me. Why not? It's in the Bible. I understand if you have medical difficulties and that kind of thing, it's a little different. But get on your face and ask God to take that thing. a vision of suffering. Why is it that when missionaries come in and they show their presentation, their slide presentation, or I guess they don't use slides anymore, it's technology age, they got video now, you know. And why is it when they come in and they show pictures of men and women, boys and girls, in just kind of a deplorable state? Why is that? Is it so they can get your money? No. It's so that they can show you the sinful state of the place that they're going, the people that are suffering and that need help. And they're begging you, take me on and let me go help these people. That's why. Why does Pastor Jerry have a missions emphasis month for the church, though? Is it so we can take on more missionaries? I would say part of it, yes. But you know what it really is? Is it so you and I can see the deplorable, sinful state of the suffering of mankind all around us, and that we'll be actively involved physically in missions. Amen. That's why. I praise God that somebody, when I was 11 years old, gave me the gospel. Amen. I'm also glad that after I got saved and then walked out of church for 4 years during my teenage years and walked in sin, that I had a friend that cared for my soul and cared for who I was, and they kept inviting me to church no matter how many times I turned him down and no matter how many excuses I made. He would not quit and he never stopped praying. And one day I walked through those church doors again and I heard an evangelist preach and God changed my life. I didn't have to suffer anymore. I didn't have to wander in darkness anymore. I didn't have to wonder why I'm here anymore. Jesus gave me all the answers. But what are we doing to help others now? Me personally. You know, physically I'm up here, but spiritually I'm sitting in a pew with all of you tonight. I'm preaching at myself. There's people all around me that need Christ. They're hurting. They need help. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. A vision of the state of man. A vision of suffering. And last and best of all, a vision of victory. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27 again. Start in verse number 51. The Bible says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. When Jesus arose, he gave victory over death, hell, and the grave, and sin. The thing which was captivated mankind, Jesus Christ, now held captive. Sin binds us, and Jesus decided to bind sin. Death holds us, but Jesus said, I'm going to hold death. Hell enlarges in itself to swallow up man. But Jesus said, I'm going to shrink that hole. The devil deceives us, uses us, and abuses us. And Jesus said, it's your turn, Satan. The only person that's going to be used and abused in the end is going to be you. And there's victory in the cross. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse number 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Amen. Listen, we don't have to sit in despair all the time. Jesus has given victory. You and I don't have to walk in sin day by day and be overcome by sin. We can overcome it because Jesus gives us the victory. Why do we have Missions Emphasis Month? Why do we have these missionaries come in? Because there's lost, dying people that are in a deplorable state who are suffering day by day, but Jesus can set them free. He can give them victory. Your lost family members, God can give them victory. Your lost friends, your lost co-workers, God can give them victory. And you as a Christian, God can give you victory. I love the fact that when I sin, and I know I can come before God and repent, and ask God to forgive me my sin, and the Bible says He'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness immediately. So much so that He forgets it, like I've never done it before. I may bring it up back to my mind, but God never remembers it. He never holds it against me. Never. When I go to see Jesus one day and I face Him face to face and I give an account of my life, do you know how much of my sin that I'm going to have a give account for? Is this a good angle? Zero. Nothing. Nada. It's all been forgiven. Victory. Does that mean I sin all I want and then when I enter in heaven say, well, hey, you know, got to do what I want? No. Because the more I sin as a Christian, the further distance I create between me and my Savior as far as a personal relationship, and the further from peace I go, and the further from comfort I go, and the further from the will of God I go. That's why it's important for us to give victory over sin. So we can have peace, and we can have comfort, and we can have a wonderful walk with God. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. What's so big about missions? It's because man's in trouble. They're suffering. And Jesus gave His life to give us victory. A vision of missions through the eyes of the cross. I don't think there's anything better than getting a fresh view of the cross. That's what our whole life is about, Christian. That's why you have the name Christian, is because of what Jesus did, because of Jesus Christ. I am nothing except Jesus Christ saved me. And you are too. But how you doing? Have you gone through this whole month thinking, well, we're having Missions Emphasis Month, we'll get to hear another missionary this week. And you hear about missions and you hear about their field and you think, oh, that's kind of a neat place and boy, I hope they get to go. Yeah, maybe I'd like to give money to that. And you've walked out untouched. It's because you fail to realize what missions is really all about. Pastor Jerry preached a message talking about his eye has affected his heart. I hope this gives you the eye that'll affect your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. God, I pray that you just do your work now. Lord, I pray if there's one person in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray, God, tonight they would trust you. Or maybe they've been here, they've gone to church, they've heard the Bible preached, they've sat in Sunday school classes, but they're not saved. God, I pray that you give them the courage to come forward tonight and trust you. No one's going to make fun of them. God, give them the faith to come. Maybe there's some other, this is the first time they've heard this. And when they pillow their head at night, they're not sure where they'll spend eternity. God, save their soul tonight. For the Christian, I pray, Lord, may this stir our hearts. May this change our lives. May we have a fresh vision of missions through your eyes, what you did. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen.